The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning, to the doctrine of importance of Bible doctrine, we'll pick up Roman numeral 3, page 3 of our notes. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment, in this academic setting, that believers who are the church assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. It is Bible study, Bible class that has been ordained by God for believers of church age to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to make the maturity adjustment, and to otherwise fulfill God's plan for our lives. This is all made possible because of our understanding of the truth of God's Word, Bible doctrine, as is only understood in regards to being in fellowship. The natural man does not understand the things of God because they are spiritual and must be spiritually assessed. This demands that we as believers isolate the sin nature, employing rebound if necessary, 1 John 1:9, and otherwise being filled with God the Holy Spirit and providing the necessary concentration and contemplation in regards to things taught at hand in regards to God's Word. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you for the understanding of those who seek you in regards to their discernment of it, and that we are able to know and understand you and your plan for our lives. And we ask you to bless us in regards to the information that we possess, that we take it and apply it to our own Christian lives and make use of these things so that they have a maximum benefit for application in this regard, and that God the Holy Spirit will again lighten us to the truth and matters at hand this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Again, it never hurts to stop and take a minute and reflect on the importance of what God's Word is and what it means to us. Obviously, the importance of Bible doctrine cannot be overstated, because this is the means that God has provided for men to understand God, comprehend, and know what His will is for us in our Christian life, while men can come to recognition of the fact that there is a God through creation and through those things around them in this regard, only through the dissemination of His truth revealed to men under divine inspiration can men fully understand what God's plan is for them as God. And the Bible is that which gives us the instructions, the insight, the revelatory facts in regards to God, His very thinking, and what He expects for those who want to have the benefit of life in its most broad spectrum and form to include eternal life. And under the doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine, one of the things that men in general fail to understand that this book, the 66 books of the Bible, the canon of Scripture, which is the Word of God, which is inerrant, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, in regards to the authors who penned it for us, this book is not just any old book. It's not any book that you can just pick up and read for leisure or pleasure in regards to one's entertainment, etc. If one wants to discern the spiritual realities that are revealed in regards to Bible doctrine, it demands that they line up in regards to God's plan. Otherwise, as I so stated before Bible class, under the natural man, these things will not be discerned or assessed correctly as people try to filter it through their sin nature, and hence the distortions, etc., the many distortions of interpretation of Scripture that we have out there in the world today. So that is the point and subject of Roman numeral 3 here, getting back into the doctrine, that Bible doctrine is only understood by positive volition. What do we mean by positive volition? Those who are seekers of God. And those who are seekers of God are not only those who have an inquisitive nature in regards to God, but are the mindset, the volitional mindset, that upon disclosure of God to them, they are willing to then do His will for their lives. That is a true seeker. There are many pseudo-seekers. We see pseudo-seekers in regards to the first advent, those whom Christ said they seek Him, but it's strictly for, if you will, the entertainment value, the miraculous miracles that He engaged in, etc., as it stimulates their emotions, false expectations in regards to Messiah at that point in time, and things of that nature. There are true seekers, and those are the ones who, when they hear the truth, then are willing to line up and abide by it in regards to the Christian life. And Bible doctrine is only understood by positive volition, and then only under the system that God has established. And God has a system in regards to how we are to understand the Scripture, just as there is the proper hermeneutics, if you will, in regards to its interpretation, the science and art in regards to interpretation as biblically defined. And in this respect, the Bible, if you will, is supernatural. And the fact that if you're negative to doctrine, then what you will grasp out of it will be of no benefit truly in regards to one's spiritual matriculation and understanding in regards to God and His plan. So, first and foremost, as we saw, the Lord Jesus Christ taught that the truth of this word is only understood by those who are positive. We read John 7:17 in this respect, and in the high priestly prayer, that it is by the truth that His disciples are sanctified, set apart in that regards. An example in regards to the very premise that negative volition does not understand these things, Matthew 13:10 and following brings that out. I mentioned it in the last class. I want to read it because it also explains this phenomenon. Why, when you come into Bible class, the first thing I say is get in fellowship, you know, or exhort. It's up to you whether you do or you don't. I've personally sat by people that didn't believe that you had to get in fellowship. And I saw their notes after class, and it was almost unbelievable how it was distorted. But anyway, this is the key. And Jesus Christ, you know, in regards to the Fundy mentality of communicating to others, evangelizing others, etc., Jesus Christ had a different approach. And the disciples came to Him, verse 10, Matthew 13, and asked Him a question. Why do you speak to them, the people, in parables? People are in need of salvation. They are in need of spiritual enlightenment. But much of Jesus' communication was done in a format that it demanded that the individual truly wanted to know what all this meant and were willing to investigate and seek these things out and come to an understanding. But the fact is, it's also designed to keep hidden from those who are negative the realities of the truth of doctrine. And that's verse 11. The answer said to them, to you, that's the believers, His disciples, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The gems, the precious stones, gold and silver, Bible doctrine. Described as mysteries. Now, a mystery doesn't mean it's something that is impossible to understand. It just means that it demands, if you will, certain investigation, certain figuring out in regards to understand it. And here are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's the plan of God. But to them, in mass, Israel, who are negative, it has not been granted. So God's will is regards to some people to reveal Bible doctrine purely, correctly, to others not. Again, so much for the fundies. Oh, everybody needs to know and understand. Well, yeah, we understand that's preferred. But the fact is, not everybody will. 12, for whoever, he goes on to explain here, has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him, denoting the culpability factor in regards to our responsibilities to that which we possess. And here, in regards to the plan of God and possession of it, in regards to our own thinking. And verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. The Jews were highly culpable. They were God's chosen people. They were supposed to be the representative nation and administrators of God's plan during their dispensation. And they had their prophets, they had those who were adjusted, but the matter of fact was, at the time of the first advent, and many other times, they were negative to the truth. And therefore I speak to them, verse 13, in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. So the understanding looks at the aspect of seeing and hearing in spiritual realities, in discernment regards to God's plan. And while they may physically perceive through the natural man and physically hear through the natural man, they are not digesting the system, filtering it through GAT, through God the Holy Spirit, etc., as we know that we have to in order to clearly understand these things. And therefore, they fall short in regards to apprehending and understanding the importance of these things. And they do not understand. I mean, it's no big secret. If you're on doctrine for any amount of time, you're around people that are not on doctrine, and you start expressing your goals in life and your focus and vision and things of that nature in regards to your spiritual life, people really just don't understand. They don't understand why you don't move out of the tundra and go where it's warm. Well, God burn you up there if He wants. Yeah, you want to live out in Arizona, fine. You want to live in a drought and have dust storms like they did back in the 40s and 30s in Oklahoma, Midwest. These huge dust storms that you used to only see over in Arab countries. And now we're having them. Wake up, people. See? But, you know, the bronze, the cursing of the nations and turning the earth to bronze. There's you a good example. People don't understand. One pastor per congregation. Well, when do you all worship? Well, we have Bible study. Oh, yeah, but when do you worship? They don't understand. They don't understand this doctrine. The doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine, see? And that's because they're negative. Now, obviously, people are seeking that are seeking have to come to understanding. And God will reveal, He knows the depths of everyone's heart and who ultimately is positive, and He'll put them in touch with the truth. And that regards, and they'll line up, and they too will understand, but not for those who are negative. And therefore, Jesus Christ spoke in parables to, if you will, further frustrate their negative volition as part of judgment in regards to their negative volition. And that is a judgment. Judgment of not apprehending and understanding the light. Because they are not truly coming to the light, as other figurative language so expresses. And in regards to the Jews, verse 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. which says, you will keep on hearing but will not understand, regards the Jews when they go into reversionism, when they go negative to doctrine. And you will keep on seeing but will not perceive, denoting the prophetic aspects, prophecy brought out in regards to Israel, going in reversionism. For the heart of this people has become dull, not sharp anymore, not keen in regards to truly knowing God and having a relationship with Him based on His terms and conditions. They want to do it on their own terms and conditions, religiosity. And they have closed their eyes, that's eyes to their soul, their volition. They've turned off bodily volition. And they're blind now, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, come to repentance and make reversion recovery as a nation. And I should heal them, which God is instantaneously on the spot for those who do want to go back on positive volition. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, all the miracles of Messiah in confirmation, validation of His office and proclamation of it, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, the Bible doctrine Christ taught throughout His ministry, all the doctrine, everything was doctrine with Him, centered on doctrine, and did not hear it, denoting positive volition, the nature of positive volition, truly desiring to know the truth, and to be a part of this, and to experience it in all aspects. So, obviously, the principle in regards to understanding doctrine, the requisite is that you want to understand it, and then you're willing to line up with it. So B, individuals that are positive are called seekers. It's a term used in the Scriptures. Since they are not satisfied until they learn the truth. Sometimes you contemplate in regards to your life. What have I accomplished in life? You know, people do that. You see people that are highly motivated in different fields, and you see all these great accomplishments. And you look and you look at your niche, see, and say, what have I accomplished in life? Well, one thing I've accomplished in life. I went on a search. I went on a mission. I didn't even recognize that's what I was doing at the time. And I found a key. And that key was a key to eternal life and all its benefits. And now, for myself personally, in regards to my own evaluation, I use that key to provide access for anybody else who is also looking for that key. See? So, if you do that, I mean, what else is anything else? You know, what does anything else matter in regards to your life? But people don't look at life that way. Seekers, to be a seeker of God's plan, Acts 17:27. And obviously, my experience parallels everyone who's positive to that degree. Unless you're a child that brought up in doctrine, and you can thank God your parents were seekers. But you too must seek. I mean, sooner or later, you've got to come to your own choice. Now, this is what I was raised in. Now, is this what I'm going to adhere to? I want to know God too. You have the benefit of all that your parents have provided for you beforehand. Now the choice is, are you going to trash it? Or are you going to maximize in regards to it, in regards to your own life? Acts 7:17, the right chapter. Oh no, excuse me, Acts 17:27. God designed man to exist corporately as nations, national. Existence is a divine institution. The New World Order is simply men under their sin nature and human viewpoint trying to remove the fetters of God's plan for man. Nationalism, And this passage makes this clear. Verse 26, and he made from one, that's Adam, every nation of mankind. The nation looking at the corporate economic binding of men within certain societies and boundaries to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times where the nation will exist, how long it will exist, etc., and the boundaries of their habitations, even to the extent of the real estate which they possess and claim. He is in control of all these things. He is in control of history. And he gives then the purpose for establishing nationalism. And that's verse 27, that they, nations, and nations are essentially made up of people, that they should seek God to give everyone maximum opportunity on a worldwide scale to have the freedom to go on positive volition and to seek to know and understand and worship God, if perhaps they might grow for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Obviously, He is omnipresent. He fills all space. But in regards to intellectual comprehension of Him, He's as close as the truth being taught in that respect. For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of our own poets have said, for we also are His offspring. So, God created nations to provide maximum opportunity for positive volition to seek Him. And if one is in a situation, a nation, that is greatly oppressed and restricted, and they cannot do that, then they are free to at least try to relocate and find geography where the truth is, and they can apprehend the truth. The goal of the New World Order is to squelch the truth, provide their own agenda, and make it impossible to escape that agenda in regards to civil and government law and existence. That's the New World Order. To have a one legal system, one set of laws, is called United Nations. See. And they will do anything and everything to rob the individual of the freedom to seek God. That's a prayer you always should keep in front of you at all times. It is for God to maintain that freedom for us in our society until the rapture. Also, compare Psalm 119, 1 through 16. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. The way who has integrity in regards to adhering to the truth of Bible doctrine. Who walk in the law of the Lord. You want to be blessed by God. And you got a choice. You can be blessed by the world, by the cosmos, or you can be blessed by God. Now, generally, most of us is in a mixture of both in regards to our own pursuits. But, obviously, our goal is to have God's hand in it as much as possible. And to have true blessing, find true blessing from Him. How blessed are those, verse 2, who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. That's just not a half-hearted attempt in regards to doctrine, the lukewarm syndrome that we see in the last days in regards to the Scripture. Now, that is something, to know the truth, is something that just ultimately drives the individual. But that's what they want to know and understand. Verse 3, they also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. They align themselves up with the divine viewpoint of life. And that's the path that they follow. Doesn't mean that they don't engage in personal sin and fail. But their character and lifestyle is one that walks the narrow and straight path of Bible doctrine. Rebounding, seeking to keep the SCA overruled otherwise. And these are those who conduct their life in His ways, the way He wants us to. You have ordained your precepts, that we should keep them diligently. To make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's in regards to these things. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. That's verse 5. The desire of the psalmist to do what's necessary to continue to stimulate his own volition with respect to God. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I will give thanks to you with uprightness of heart, and I'll learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? Verse 9, by keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. One of the verses, one of the songs we like to sing. Huh? There you are. Is it your treasure? To avoid getting off the straight and narrow. Blessed are you, O Lord. Verse 12. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. In regards to your own witness of life, your speech is perforated with the divine viewpoint. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. To enjoy doctrine as much as you knew, do your new car. See, as an example. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. That means what the psalmist hears in Bible class, learns in regards to doctrine. They contemplate these things. They think about them. See, they don't just look like it go in one ear and out the other. And they consider these things and how important they are, as well as how to implement them in their own Christian lives as necessary. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. So God obviously has a hand in regards to knowing and understanding Bible doctrine. All right, so that was verses 1 through 16. And then back to Acts 10, 17, verses 10 through 12. In regards to the Berean fellowship, people there, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, one of their places of worship. God destroyed the temple, but He did not completely destroy their system of religiosity. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica overall. he's dealing with. He's not dealing with the church at Thessalonica. You can't say they're not noble-minded. But in regards to the overall response of the society, for they received the word with great eagerness, in contrast to the antagonism and hostility that they saw at Thessalonica. The missionary team, as we've seen in 1 Thessalonians, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And that looks at their own population seeking the truth as they constantly are digging into scriptures, trying to figure these things out, wanting to know these things. Many of them therefore believed. That's the result of the population there that was there, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. So Jews, Gentiles alike. See, even the most positive believer will not arrive at the knowledge of the truth apart from the great system that God has instituted. You can be positive overall, but get out of fellowship. Determine you're going to approach it under your SCA. And you're in a boat just like anybody else trying to discern the truth at that point in time. Obviously the system is what we call GAP, the Grace Apparatus for Perception. So GAP stands for the Grace Apparatus for Perception, which is the basis for understanding the Word of God. One, internally, this apparatus consists of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who under the condition of filling is the ultimate teacher of doctrine. The anointing that we receive regards the Holy Spirit. John, in his epistle, I don't have it in our notes, but 1 John 2:27 proclaims this principle. And as for you, the anointing, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit, which you receive from Him, abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and it is true, and it is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. To be in fellowship. The indwelling and the importance to be in fellowship regards to His indwelling ministry. And again, you take that verse out of context and say, well, I don't need a pastor. The giving of the Holy Spirit was to provide insight in regards to the criteria necessary under divine ordination. Assimilating the truth. John is not saying pastors aren't necessary, apostles aren't necessary. Who's writing the epistle? No. But people take things out of context. They do not harmonize with all Scripture. That's a danger. We are to harmonize not only with near context, but with remote context. You can't contradict Scripture otherwise, or else you have a real interpretational problem. See, if you're contradicting, you let Scripture interpret itself, and you've got to put all these things together. And that's a perfect example of people who do not come to an understanding of truth because they're operating under their sin natures. They want to reject having to get under NPR and find a right pastor teacher in a sound adjusted church. And therefore, they reject the truth. They don't put it all together. They don't apprehend and understand these things. See? Like we do. So, obviously, under the GAP system, first and foremost, it looks to God the Holy Spirit and His ministries. In the natural, again, the natural man, the sin nature, the SCA, the flesh, does not have the capacity to assimilate divine viewpoint. Nor does it have a propensity to. That propensity comes from your will, not from your body. Your body's saying otherwise. Then in correlation, conjunction with the Holy Spirit, we have the human spirit, which is given to us under the new birth, under regeneration, and operates in tandem with God the Holy Spirit, under the GAP system, which is used by God the Holy Spirit to override the sin nature, the SCA, the flesh. We have a new spiritual nature given to us, created in righteousness and set apart for the truth. When you're in fellowship, your human spirit's activated. Get out of fellowship, then it's put in rest mode until you reactivate it, rebound. Two, the stages of gap then, in regards to the protocol, the system for gap, recognizing the importance of God the Holy Spirit in regards to this, necessary for inculcation of Bible doctrine includes A, the local church, which is the environment that God has ordained for face-to-face teaching. How many times do you have to say it? We live in the, quote, church, end quote, age. Hence the importance of the church. Why are we called the church? The ecclesia, the body of Christ, see. NPR. And you have, again, all the rationales, ones that want to be honest with themselves, the arrogant type, think they can figure it all out on their own, throwing accusations in regards to, well, you're just nothing but a social club. Well, you haven't attended our church then. Oh, anyway. Yeah, that's why you go out in the funny world, and generally that's what you find. No. Yeah, my humor is twisted sometimes. Hebrews 10:25. But righteously so. Why are you given a command to not forsake? Well, first of all, the objective is, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The confession of our hope is a Bible doctrine that we hold to in anticipation of vindication by God for enduring all the negative aspects of being a positive believer living in Satan's world, to put it succinctly. Without wavering, that's without vacillating, the ups and down mode that a lot of believers had. One foot in, one foot out. No real commitment, without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Looking at the immutability of God, we can depend upon God to ensure the fulfillment of his promises to us. And let us consider in that vein how to stimulate one another to love as one another in regards to fellow believers within their assemblies, within their local churches, and good works. That's divine good production. The love emphasizes application of doctrine and fellowship, which produces, therefore, divine good, that which is rewardable. And that this is under the auspices of the church or the local churches is then made clear in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, the habitual omission of Bible class in their lives, if not a complete forsaking. But encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near. The further along in the history of the church age, the more important this really becomes. That because it parallels to the evil, the commensurate evil that grows in the world in the last days. We have a system of technology that we can find information in all things, and all kinds of information can be disseminated. All kinds of agendas, philosophies, etc. And it's different than what it was even 100 years ago, when you still had to wait often for a couple of weeks to hear news from one part of the country to another part of the country. Now we get it instantaneously. We're inundated. Many times they rape our ears because they give us stuff we don't want to hear. See? sorry if my language offends you, but it communicates, you know, forcing down this information that is not edifying. See? And it's there, and evil is on the rise. Our country is in the midst of the prophecy of every unclean bird occupying it. That's every demon, every type of demon you can find in regards to our society. You see the things that are occurring as they are ballooning and accelerating. I mean accelerating. We said this 5 years ago. We said this 10 years ago. Look at it now, at the rate it's going now, even compared to then. It's continuing to build momentum. And now is not the time to be peeling out of Bible class. See? Because you will have every opportunity of any aspect of human viewpoint to rationalize not being in Bible class and not adhering to God's plan in your Christian life as made possible to men on this planet. Because of, again, technology. Not that technology in and of itself is wrong. Obviously, there's good aspects of it. God uses a blessed population. We're in the world. We're not to be of the world, but we are to use the world to the advantage of living our Christian life. See? So not forsaking the assembly, as is the habit of some. And sometimes that makes that calls for some hard decisions that believers have to make in order to maintain their continued spiritual advance to maximize regards to divine good production, to maintain the zeal and the drive that often they had before but seems to diminish, to be diminishing at certain points in time in their life. See? So the local church in regards to the gas system is obviously all important. Where else is the truth truly being taught? If it's not in a sound, adjusted local church by the pastor teacher who's doing his job correctly. I don't know of any adjusted pastor teacher that is not a part of a local church. Never met one. Oh, that may be some that claim it, the individual authors of books and things of this nature. But they're not. It all begins right here, see. It all begins where the gifts come together, making up a local body of Christ and functioning appropriately under the communicative gifts, etc. So that's point B, the properly trained pastor teacher using the correct hermeneutic. The way we describe our approach to hermeneutics is under the I system. It's just a term that has been coined within the last half century or so. It doesn't mean that the principle has not always existed. Now, sometimes you get the idea that you know, because we have some terminology we may use different, well, nobody really ever understood doctrine like this. I beg to differ. I guarantee you, Paul understood doctrine to a depth probably most of us wish we could understand it, even though it may have been explained in different ways. But, I mean, I'm not obviously complaining in regards to the system that I learned. It's great. It helps communicate clearly in this respect. But sound teaching has been around, and positivism has understood doctrine like we understand it, in principle. Even though they may use different words. The I system looks at the fact that the Bible must first and foremost be understood in regards to the history and time in which it was written. That's your eisegetics. That means history, historical precedent. When Jesus teaches about shepherds and sheep, you must understand how that functioned at that point in time in history. See, to fully comprehend and understand what he's talking about. Then you have categories of doctrine. Again, when you go verse by verse, you hit different principles in regards to doctrine. But to get the complete picture in regards to a particular principle that's expressed, you have to go through the Bible and pull out all the principles expressing that particular subject, or defining it, explaining it. And when you put it all together, such as what we have in front of us right now, you have a doctrine. And you have a category of doctrine. And then, last but not least, is exegesis. That simply means to extract from the Bible what is being said. That's in contrast to eisegesis. Eise, the Greek, meaning into. Ex, being out from. And reading into it what you wanted to say. To make something your sacred cow and try to force doctrine to go with your way of thinking. And you go out and you start looking at other verses to try to support your premise rather than just letting the doctrine speak to you. And the doctrine naturally then will support itself. 2 Peter 3:16. Regards to those who proclaim to be teaching doctrine but do not and fail to understand it, in regards to an adjusted communicator, as Paul is, and Peter makes reference to it, as also in all his letters speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, some doctrines. It takes real work, real effort to put the things together, which the untaught and unstable distort. Wrench things out of context, add their own cute little ideas to it, eisegete, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. That's basically their approach to their own destruction. These are Bible-thumping, Bible-wielding, waving individuals. And they're out there distorting the scriptures. They're unstable spiritually. And they are not, obviously, trained or have not been trained, or they forsook the proper training that they were given to begin with. That's the untaught. And then 2 Timothy 2:2. In regards to Timothy, with the gift of pastor teacher, and the things which you have heard from me, Paul, who was his teacher, in regards to learning to function under his spiritual gift and correctly discern the scriptures, to learn the doctrine, to have the proper foundation in regards to doctrine, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, is Timothy's job as a pastor to train other pastors. That is, these literally deposit to faithful men. We refer to the previous teaching as a good deposit. And then pass that on to other men who are positive, i.e. faithful, in regards to Scripture, who will be competent, literally, to teach others also. The good deposit. I can honestly say, of the 15 years that I've been teaching Bible class, I have nothing but repetitively validated my good deposit that I received before I came up here. There isn't a doctrine that the pillar of that doctrine does not stand as strong as it is the day I heard it, years ago in Oklahoma City. So, that's the way it is. Sound doctrine is handed down to the faithful. And you would expect that very thing if it's sound to begin with. You would expect it to remain sound. And we've had, I've faced people that have tried to challenge it. And all that does, besides make me righteously indignant sometimes, has helped me validate even more and be more confident, because I'll go back and I'll reevaluate things because of some suggestion and say, nah, our doctrine stands firm. So the person has to be properly trained using the correct hermeneutics. Obviously, back in the time of which the New Testament was written, most of the men did not have to learn Greek. They understood it. Many of them understood Hebrew if they were Jewish, etc. Today, most of us, we have to learn to speak English first, and then we go learn Greek and Hebrew if you're from the Midwest. So. Y'all is a farm implement. No, it isn't. That's everybody. You know how it is. A crick is something you get in your neck. No, it isn't. It's what you get wet in when you cross it. Anyway, then you have the pastor-teacher who's not only been trained, but then he's committed. Yeah, we're all committed. But, I mean, loyal to verse-by-verse teaching. No matter what pressures or tests that may come in his life, he stays focused. And he doesn't let things distract him. He doesn't let complaints, the maladjusted, malcontent types, to tone down his zeal for repetitive, regimented teaching of Bible doctrine, as is to be done with authority. So D, a pastor teacher that teaches via monologue, that's the design. One pastor per congregation. And the way it's designed to be taught is regards to the exercise of the particular communicated gift in this regards. So a pastor teacher that teaches via monologue to believers under enforced humility. In other words, there's a responsibility of the pastor to make sure that there are no unnecessary distractions in regards to those who really want to hear the doctrine. The pastor is responsible for the decorum of the local church and to see that good manners and poise are maintained. We had the exhortation, as we saw back in James. This you know, my beloved brothers, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Give the doctrine its hearing. Contemplate it. Think about it, as the psalmist so says. Meditate on it. Discern it before you open your mouth and stick said foot in mouth on occasions. And slow to anger. Doctrine is going to slap us all upside the head on occasion. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Even righteous anger does nothing really to produce divine good. It's an acknowledgement. It's simply an acknowledgement in reaction to sin and evil. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, isolation of the SCA, in humility, under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, and submitting oneself to the authority of the pastor-teacher. All humility, receive the word implanted. There you have the correlation of volition of the soul likened to soil. And the word being a seed that's implanted. I cast out Bible doctrine that lands in your soul. And then we see if it germinates and produces fruit. See, which is able to deliver your souls. That's phase two. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So F, this system requires self-discipline, concentration, and consistent attendance in Bible class, what we refer to as NPR, most pressing responsibility. So G, in that vein, we have Operation Epinosis, with seeking the entire counsel, the full knowledge of God. In other words, you don't discard any doctrine. You assimilate the doctrine. You embrace it as it's presented, and you're not trying to avoid any of the Bible. Operation Epinosis, and then H, you have Operation Application. You're given a doctrine for a purpose, that is to employ it in your own Christian life. So three, the idea that you can grow up spiritually by taking in Bible doctrine but not applying it is a myth. Just as James says, you've got to be a doer, not just a hearer. Also Luke 11, 27 and 28. It came about while he said these things, Jesus was teaching one of the women in the crowd, raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." A woman honoring a woman. 28, but he said, "On the contrary." Oh yeah, Jesus really catered to the human viewpoints of people. No, he did not. "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." how you may, what your station may be in life, etc., and how God may use you in that regard. That's not what makes one spiritually great. What makes them spiritually great is their orientation to God and His plan. God has many useful idiots that He employs on behalf of fulfillment of His plan. And we want to avoid being in the useful idiot category. For the doctrine that you inhale will be tested to see if you will apply under exhale faith. 1 Peter 1:7. Then we'll take our break. "That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." One way we know that we're truly embracing doctrine and committed to it is when opposition faces us, either through our own SCA or others, and we continue to hold fast to the faith and application otherwise. All right, take our break.